This is an MUT Radio podcast.
We do have a doctor in the house. You are listening to the Hlanganani Midday Show on MUT Radio. The time now is 12:30 on the dot. And we have a fascinating guest joining us. Born and raised in Durban, KZN, Dr. Knox Mpambukeli has had quite the journey in the medical field. She obtained her MBCHB degree in 2020 from the University of the Free State and went on to complete her internship at Charlotte Hospital in Johannesburg in 2022. Following that, in 2023, Dr. Mpambukeli completed her community service year in Limpopo at the Nkensani Hospital, Giani. Currently, she is working as a forensic pathologist in Johannesburg. And Dr. Kelly's talents don't stop there. She's also a presenter at the Dr. Coffee podcast, an author and an aspiring model and performer. Dr. Knox Kelly, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Can you guys hear me properly?
Yes, we can hear you. You're a little bit soft, but we can hear you.
Okay, I'll try and then shout it loud.
Okay, no worries. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
Yes, we're all good. It's a little bit rainy here in Durban, but that's okay.
Oh, shucks. Here in Joburg, it's crispy, but it's got some sun.
Oh, that's why you have the winters in Joburg, because you don't get to have any, any rain or anything like that. But yeah, so welcome to the show. We are talking motivation, careers, all these things. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey into the medical field, you know, from studying in the Free State to your current role as a forensic pathologist in Johannesburg?
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much, MUT, for having me. And I hope that our time together is fruitful and, like you said, is encouraging. So a bit about me and my medical journey. So just on the sort of softer side from my life, I'm a firstborn daughter to a single mom of four. So I've had the responsibility of always just having to make it. I had no choice. And then from there, I went on to study in medicine. So I studied in the Free State, like you've mentioned. And my journey was pretty much, I would say it was, fair. It was hard, but also it was very lovely to go through. So when I say hard, I mean that I went into this degree not knowing financially how I was going to navigate it, because I didn't have a bursary or anything like that. But through my vision of just finishing and acquiring a degree that could, you know, be able to support me and my family, that was pretty much all I needed to get through. So I actually started working full time, from 2016. So I started the degree in 2015, and then in 2016, I was working whilst I was studying. So that allowed me to keep busy, but also to make money to be able to somewhat support myself. And yeah, my journey was like, I think most people who go into university without that much support, you know, having to hustle, having to study a bit harder than work a bit harder than maybe the average person, because a lot was at stake for you to make it. That being said, doesn't mean that it was a smooth journey for me. I actually ended up having to repeat one of my years, because I had a tragic family situation that happened, so it really affected me mentally, so I had to repeat 1 year of my studies. But from there onwards, yeah, everything went as smoothly as it could.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that, because, you know, even with obviously you're on social media, you're doing wonderful things, and you always come across, you know, very polished, very, you don't look like any problems, like there's nothing happening in your life. But it's good to always hear that, you know, people that we see succeeding and thriving and glowing skin and all these things, it wasn't always a linear path.
Yeah, girl, I got acne. It's not growing skin here.
Just always look like you've got growing skin. Yeah, I've been talking about your journey a little bit, but what got you specifically into forensic pathology? Because now obviously you're at the end of some of your training and your learning. So is that the path that we're getting into?
Yeah, I think medicine is quite a delicious career because it has so much variety of different things that one can go into. Like it's not a linear sort of like we all go through this and then we'll all end up here. So for me, why I actually got into medicine in the first place was because of forensics. So I was always intrigued by the human body. I was always intrigued by, you know, being able to fix something that was wrong or broken or sick. And I even took it a step further and I was like, but what about people who actually we don't get to fix and they actually pass away? What about them? And I was always just fascinated about that whole sort of concept of death, dying, what happens to our body once our spirits move on and stuff like that. And I used to watch a lot of like detective shows. Mm. I don't know if you guys remember those ETV detective shows that used to play in the afternoon.
Yes.
And yeah, I was just super stuck in that. And I always just thought, yo, I'd be a great forensic scientist. I didn't even know there was something called forensic pathology.
Mm.
And subsequently, I found out there's many pathology types of sort of career paths. There's anatomical pathology, there's forensic pathology, chemical pathology. But essentially, all of it is just dealing with cases, medical legal related cases. So we work a lot with the police. We work a lot with the sort of the South African lawyer system to bring justice to deaths that happen unnaturally that might end up going to court. Not all unnatural deaths end up going to court. So that was that. And in my medical studies, when I was in third year, that's when we get exposed to forensic pathology or pathology.
Mm.
And we go to mortuaries and we have a look at autopsies. You know, some of us stomach it, some of us don't. And then from there, I was just like, damn, this is where I want to be. This is, I think, what will make best use of my character and the way that I work and the way that I think. And yeah, that was that. And unfortunately, in your internship and CompServe training, you don't get exposure to that. So I had to pursue it on sort of my own private time. And yeah, by God's grace, I was able to apply for a job and I got it this year to be in forensics. So I'm still in the learning stages.
Mm.
Because it's a whole new language. It's a whole new system that one has to learn. So yeah, that's where I am currently.
Yeah. So congratulations on the job.
Thank you.
So you said some people can stomach it, some people can't. Is it not scary? Have you not, do you have any, yeah, what's been your experience? Like, what was it when you first saw, a cadaver? Would it be a cadaver?
Yeah. It would be a cadaver. That's where we start.
Yes.
But essentially it's a deceased person.
Mm.
So a cadaver is more of like a person who donated their body to science and went through some like chemical procedures to drain like the body from blood and all that stuff. So it's more like a wax model, if I can say.
Mm.
But with what we do in forensic pathology, it's excuse the term, it's fresh bodies that maybe they might have died the day before or up to a week before that we then essentially perform an autopsy on to then find the cause of death. So just to get to your question about is it scary or not? Look, I mean, for me personally, I've always, I don't know, I guess it's appalling because it's really not scary for me.
Mm.
I actually find it to be quite an honor to be there for someone. Because you know how when someone dies, we don't refer to them as their name or as a person anymore. We just refer to them as a body, right?
Yes.
So for me, being a part of someone's journey, because we're all going to go through the journey of, you know, being born and then dying and being there and assisting in determining their cause of death, because it has such grave implications for the person and their dignity, especially if it's an incident of like murder or, you know, something tragic. And it has an implication for their family as well to say that, you know, they want to know how the person that they love, what happened in their last moments. It has an implication for, you know, law. Obviously, if someone was murdered, that's a crime and we have to figure out who did that. And that person needs to be brought to justice. So that whole process for me is very soothing. And it's my greatest honor to be able to provide that kind of comfort for families and also for the deceased as well.
Yes. Oh, that's such a beautiful way to view it though. Cause you know, there's this idea that medicine is about saving lives, you know, and we kind of, I've been saying in conversations over the past few weeks that we're not very good at handling death as
not at all
as a society.
It's like, yeah, we just want to do away with that part of our life.
Yes.
We don't want to talk about it. Like, it's the most realest thing. It's realer than, if that's a word, realer. It's more real than money and assets and all these things that we're trying to achieve, because everybody is going to go through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, there's no one who can escape death. And I think that's also part of why I'm in it, because I want to create an environment where we can actually talk about death in a very productive and even healing manner, to say that, look, it's not something that we need to be afraid of. Our bodies are the most amazing thing, in that I don't know if I personally, I've been through some traumatic situations. For example, I was in an accident in 2017. That I honestly don't even know how I got out of alive. They had to literally cut the car open to get me out because I was encased in it. But going through such an experience, it's so fascinating how your brain is able to like protect you from those sort of traumatic events. So I'd like to think that if someone goes through, you know, an event that eventually leads to their death, that their brain protects them from sort of the traumatic sensory aspect of it. I don't know, you know, I guess we'll find out someday.
Yes. But I suppose also, we're talking about careers today, and it's also, you have career, so you have job security forever, because, you know, people are always going through passing.
You know what I mean? You know, so when I actually chose to become a doctor, that was one of the thoughts that I, you know, had. I mean, I wanted to choose a job that has a level of longevity in it, you know, because right now we are in the fourth industrial revolution, and there's a lot of jobs that our parents didn't even, you know, couldn't even conceive would exist today. But I knew that medicine is one of those that, even with the changing times, we're dealing with human bodies. I mean, there's nothing that's going to surpass that, is, you know, human beings, health, sickness, it's something that's always there. So definitely when I was choosing the career path, I was like, this is something that, you know, I know I'll be all right. And now that I'm choosing death, it's like, definitely it's fine. We're okay.
Yes. Oh, that's a line. Hey, now that I'm choosing death.
That's actually quite intense.
You didn't choose this life, you chose.
I didn't choose it. It really chose me.
So you started your academic journey in the Free State. You've been in Limpopo, and now you're in Johannesburg. Have you found that these different areas around the country approach medicine differently, or similarities? Or just how has it been viewing the medical space across the country?
Yeah, thank you. That's actually a nice question. I think at the end of the day, the health system, or sort of the medical arena of a particular province, is a reflection of how that province is doing, or how that particular community is doing. So when I was in the Free State, it's a small city. I don't know if it's called a city or it's called a town, but I would say it's a city. It's a small city. When I was there as a student, I found that the healthcare, spheres, were dependent on obviously where you were in the city, or where you were in the particular, province. So, for example, where I was studying was Bloemfontein, which is the metropolitan city there. And, you know, I would say that the healthcare system could be better, but it was fair, you know, in that you had all the levels of care there. So you had your primary care, your secondary care, all the way to your tertiary academic setting, which is where, as a student, you get to rotate quite a lot of, because you need to see all the different disciplines and get exposure. Then when I went to Gauteng for my internship, I mean, Gauteng is one of the sort of well-supplied provinces financially in our country. So again, good quality sort of public care. Also, you have your private care. So you had the spectrum. What was different for me, and what was a shock, I guess, was when I went to Limpopo, and the specific town that I was in was Giani. It was really, to some extent, very heartbreaking, because where we were, the hospital that I was working in was the only hospital in such a large sort of space. We drained, I think, close to 100 clinics into our particular hospital. So it was always packed, it was always full. We were understaffed, under-resourced. So it really, you really get to see how other doctors and other healthcare professionals work, the strain, how the sacrifices that they have to make. Oh, there's lots of stories, but yeah, it's really a reflection of the financing that particular province or particular community has from our government will implicate how that health system looks like.
Yes. And you were completing your degree in the middle of COVID, or yeah, actually yeah, right in the middle of COVID in 2020.
Yeah.
So one, how was that? And two, have you seen a change from COVID that has stayed today?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was in my fourth year at the time we had the first sort of like COVID outbreak. And for me, to be honest, it was quite a great time because obviously they sent us home. So I had all this time to study at home. And I remember the day that they announced the lockdown, maybe 2 days later, I was going to write like a test. So everything was postponed. Mm. So from a selfish point of view, that was great at that time.
Yes.
But moving forward and seeing the impact that it had. So when I started my internship, it was in 2021. We were also still under a very aggressive lockdown during that time. And working in the front lines where people were literally dying in front of my eyes, on a very high turnover base. I mean, obviously we know in hospitals, some people will make it out, some people won't. And to see it at such a sort of rapid rate happening was quite traumatic for me. I don't even think mentally I've recovered from that. I still need to talk about that with someone, because it was really a lot to see. And, in terms of like the changes that I've seen, I think like because it's such a recent event, our hospitals, our large hospitals still have the capacity to respond to such an epidemic because a lot of changes, new wards were opened up, sort of new equipment was purchased. So there was a lot of changes in that. So I think that's what's great about it. Some hospitals went under renovations, upgrades, all these things to accommodate the number of patients that were coming in at the time. Mm. And yeah, but in terms of like our South Africans, I think we can definitely do better in terms of upkeeping the regulations that were placed in COVID, like still keeping your distance when you're in queues with someone, washing your hands, especially after you've been in public places and you're entering home, those kind of things, because the reality is COVID is still here.
Mm.
It hasn't gone. So we still need to be mindful as to, you know, how we interrelate, if I can say.
Yes.
Yeah.
And obviously you host the podcast, the Dr. Coffee podcast. And I'm sure you touch on a lot of these things. But yeah, what else are you doing with the podcast? What else is happening? Outside of,
I'm just going to use this, you know, 15 seconds.
Yeah, plug it.
Really go into it. So I am, one of two, if I could say partners in the Dr. Coffee podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And what we essentially do there is that we encourage, health professionals who are still in their student phases. So obviously, because I'm a doctor, that's what I tend to speak about, but it can be for nurses, occupational therapists, physiotherapists, anybody who's in the medical field. We talk to, you know, students, and then we go up to all the way to junior health professionals. So that is our target audience. And we do what you guys are doing essentially, is to encourage, to talk about the space, things that we don't get to really talk about in the medical field. I feel like in the medical field, it's a very sort of like closed system.
Mm.
And there's not a lot of information that's readily available for health professionals on different sort of topics on different levels. So that's what we pretty much do, is to just encourage and provide information. Other things that I'm busy with personally. So I'm an author. Recently, last year, I contributed to a book called 66 Women, 66 Years Later in South Africa. So essentially, again, encouragement for what women look like today versus what they looked like 60 years ago, and what are the strides and improvements that we've made.
Mm.
And I'm still continuing in that author sort of track, where I'm planning to publish at the end of the year my poetry book.
Yes, and we will have you back.
By God's grace, we hope that goes well.
Yes, we'll have you back for your book tour.
Yes. That would be so amazing to talk about that. And it's so funny because I'm very much, so my poetry book is around grappling with existence and mortality and living, which I think is quite relevant considering I'm a forensic pathologist.
Yes.
So yeah, I'll definitely hit you guys up when when all of that comes together. And yeah, I'm also into modeling. So I've joined a modeling agency recently. So we'll see if that picks up. But I definitely love modeling, the photography medium, pictures, art. That's my thing. It's always been my thing.
Yes. And to our listeners, I know this is radio, but Dr. Knox is so beautiful. Like, if I could put just going to see her on my medical aid for non-medical related things, I would.
Don't give people ideas.
If I could just go stage, actually, can I just come sit in on your appointments while you're speaking to the police? Let's come watch you.
I appreciate that. It's a nice confidence boost. So thank
you. So what can we expect from you in the coming year, for the rest of the year?
Yeah. Okay. So my aim is really to get in deep with my specialty, which is forensics. So for now, I'll be working as a medical officer, and then hopefully from next year, because I'm planning to complete my diploma in forensics, then hopefully from next year, I can get into a specialist program to become a specialist forensic pathologist, which is about 4 years. So the learning never stops, guys. The learning never stops. So from there, that's basically the sort of my medical career. I still want to definitely continue with the Dr. Coffee podcast. I feel like we can still grow and expand. We're actually number one in medical podcast in South Africa, and I think in the top three in the world.
Yes.
So we're doing quite Shout well out. In that, and I'm just hoping that we continue to grow and expand and get incredible sponsors for the show, as we already do have some incredible sponsors now. And yeah, man, I hope to get married soon. Mm-hmm. Not the personal aspect. So I'm someone soon to be better half. So that's what my life is looking like currently.
Yes, that's lovely. And I'll be watching. I've been I've been asked how I get my guests to come on. You know, if I keep in touch with everyone, I'm like, no, I just stalk them on social media.
Yeah. That works so well.
So there's always someone watching, and usually it's me.
I don't know if we're allowed to give context, but I mean, I've known you for quite a long time. You've seen me evolve from a child into a woman. So
yes, no, I was calculating it, and it's almost 20 years.
Don't lie. We're not that old.
No, but we just met very young. So
yeah. Yo, that 20 years makes us feel like we've lived a couple of lives.
Oh gosh. But yeah, so before I let you go, can you give us some advice for young people wanting to get into the medical field or wanting to go into presenting, podcasts, modeling, anything that you are in writing? What are some of your words of wisdom?
Sure, guys. My words of wisdom is really take yourself seriously first. I think we always think that once we make it to the other side and we've gotten a breakthrough role or we've got the degree, then only then we will be, you know, the world will take us seriously, or we'll then take ourselves seriously. But I think that it starts with first believing that you can and you will. Taking yourself seriously as an artist or as a future professional in whatever career path that you wish to go to. And then from there, that's your starting point. Essentially, what I'm saying is believe in yourself. Because what I've seen is there's a lot of things that and obstacles that can come in your way. But the biggest obstacle is yourself, really. Mm. And what I mean by that is also imposter syndrome is a real thing. Believing that you don't belong in a certain space because of the various reasons that you can give yourself. So I'll give an example. For myself, recently, I entered Miss South Africa, right?
Yes.
So we're waiting to hear who the top 30 is. But I had so many reasons before I entered why I don't belong. You know, oh, my body is not right, or my face is not right, or, you know, whatever. And at the end of the day, do I believe I can? The answer is yes, you know. Mm. Whether I make it to the top 30 or not, or whether I make it all the way to it's irrelevant, because I believe I have certain qualities and attributes that allow me to be in such a space. So that is my advice, and my thing is first see yourself there, take yourself seriously about it, and then you go for it full speed.
Yes.
Whatever it takes, however long it takes.
Because if you can't see yourself, how are you going to expect other people to see you?
Yeah, no, you're not there. If you can't see yourself, you're not there. In fact, people don't really care.
Yes.
If we're getting down to it. You know, people don't really care. The person who cares the most needs to be you. You need to care about yourself the most. And that's what's going to get you to those spaces.
Yes. And if you treat yourself the way you want to be treated, people will fall in line, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So where can we find Dr. Knox?
You can find Dr. Knox on pretty much all the social media platforms except for Twitter, guys. I'm sorry, I tried. So I'm Knox on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok. I'm at Knox_Kelly, and that's K-E-L-I, Knox without a K for those, some people want to spell K-N-O-X, but it's N-O-X-K-E-L-I. And yeah, that's where you find me. If you need information, if you want to talk, you're more than welcome to DM me relating to the things that we spoke about today.
Yes, otherwise her fiance will come for you.
Yeah, no. There are some chances out there, hey?
Oh, well, yes. But thank you so much for all of your time and for bringing your gorgeous energy onto our show today.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.